Instructional Designers in Offices Drinking Coffee is brought to you by Domino, makers of Domino One, the all-in-one cloud-based e-learning authoring tool for teams. You can learn more at domino.com. That's DOMINKNOW.com. Now, here's this week's episode.
Look at all those wonderful people from around the globe getting ready for the attic. Here we go! Who's ready for it? Good morning, everybody.
Oh, hello, everybody.
It is one of those mornings. It's an idiotic morning.
It is, well, for you and I, Brent, every morning is idiotic. But only Wednesday mornings are idiotic in all caps, as an acronym.
There we go.
That's how we roll.
It's too much truth in that. Too much truth.
It's funny because it's true. Oh, but it's always a cool Wednesday morning when we have Kevin Thorne joining us.
Howdy.
Always.
Kevin joins us fairly often to talk about illustrationally focused topics.
Illustrationally. I like that word.
I don't know. Just total jamming here. Anyway, Kevin, there may actually be some folks, though, who have not had you or caught you on one of our episodes or caught you at other places where you pop up in our industry. So introduce yourself to the folks.
Hey, everybody. Kevin. Been around the industry for a while, a chief Nuggethead and owner of Nuggethead Studios, where we design, develop everything from e-learning to instructional comics. Kind of where the, what I like to say is where the intersection of creativity and play meet is this studio. So I've been around a while. I'm retired Army, did a lot of tactical training in the Army, ended up in corporate training for another decade or so, and then just got geeked out with all the technology and quit the cubicle farm and started this company. And ever since then, coming up on 10 years solo. So I'm
very cool.
Very, very fortunate to be able to continue to do this on my own terms. Love it. Love everything about it. But as you mentioned, it's I'm also a drawer artist, doodler, I guess, And
professional always, illustrator, come on, don't sell yourself short. Yeah,
not close to being a pro, but anyway, thank you for that. But I just think it's very important that vision trumps all other senses, and we have to incorporate a lot of visual design in our work. So with that, it's not, you don't have to be a graphic designer or an illustrator to be a visual thinker. So when you're thinking through solving problems, there's techniques we can do that with visual sketching and doodling in order to work through the problem. So,
yeah, there's an awful lot of us, myself included, in the camp of, oh, well, I can't draw. But you have, you know, in past episodes with us, shown us, you know, the visual alphabet and some other techniques, et cetera, for at least using visual or being able to convey things visually to help you know, people at least understand something, whether or not we're the final artists or the final creators of something.
Yeah, there's actually one of my favorite studies is titled I Can't Draw. And the research behind it is the reason people say that now, adults into their careers and their corporate careers, is they can't draw. It's not that they can't, it's that they stopped practicing. So at the age of 6-7 years old, when you're drawing and you're in your art class and you're bringing your, you know, your projects home and your parents are, you know, putting them on the refrigerator, you were creative. You were doing art. You were doing those types of visual things. But as you got older into your, you know, your preteens and into your teens, you found other interests. It might be music. It might be something else. It might be dance. It might be gymnastics, sports. But your focus became away from the art part or the drawing part. Those that continued that practice and considered it, this is like me, I spent every day after school going home and drawing pictures. So I pushed through. So I just kept practicing. So when I got into adulthood, you know, 15, 20 years later, somebody says, well, I can't draw. I said, yeah, you can. You just stop practicing. You forgot how. It's not that you can't. You just forgot how. So it's just about reskilling yourself and getting back into it.
I was one of those people that stopped that stopped the skilling thing. I was always in elementary school. I was often a go-to person for my teachers whenever they wanted a T-shirt or a little picture drawn or something like that. I was known as the drawing kid in the class. But then it must have been about junior high that I quit. It wasn't cool. It wasn't cool to be that guy. You know.
Well, so, I know. And inversely, I would draw all the time because I used to get in trouble for drawing on my homework.
Yeah, I drew on the back of a test once, and I had to redo the test. It was a blank white sheet of paper, and I finished the test before everybody else, and I was bored, and so I turned it over and I started drawing. Teacher walked by and got so mad. Yeah, I kind of assumed it was you every day.
Back then, you know, the teachers they had like a bat phone on their desk. They'd call your parents like, I want to let you know. So by the time you got home, they already knew what kind of trouble you got in, and you know, mom's like, so what did you do today? Oh, nothing. Are you sure there's nothing you don't want to tell me? So then, you know, they egg it out of you and says, well, just wait till your dad gets home. Right. So then dad gets home. And then I had to write like 500 times for my dad, I will not draw on my homework. And I was like, you know, and I know what I was 8, 9, 10 years old, somewhere around there. I said, you know, I'm just going to take this opportunity to practice my block lettering. So I wrote 500 times in like lettering. I just changed the lettering style. So just think about it. You get to practice the letter L 500 times and the letter A 500 times. You can draw different ways and stuff like that. So you just take opportunities to practice with your punishment. And that's how I started, I guess.
That's brilliant. Now you're a specialist at fonts.
Dino, yes. Stick people are, in fact, where you start. It's all about the story, too. It's about storytelling. And you just... I can do a little sketch here on stick figures real quick, too, to show you.
Yeah, let's do that. Sure. Let's jump in. Let's warm up a little bit today.
Let's warm up. Let me see if I can get this device working over here on this end. Let's see. And then let's see. I need a screen share, too, don't I? That's usually helpful. Wait a minute. Handshake is waiting for my reflectors waiting for the code. There it is. Hang on. I'm going to put the code in. I'm doing this screen mirroring thing. There it is. Okay. Okay. Now I need a screen share, right?
Yep, just roll over your own video feed and the tools show up.
Got it. Screen share. Which one is it? It would be...
It's the little laptop-y icon usually.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and I've got the problem is when you screen mirror, it comes... I can't reduce it, so I got to pull this up. Hang on, I'm just moving windows around. There we go. Probably a double vision right now. Come on.
Now I've got that Foreigner song going through my head. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate that.
Why is this not bigger? This should be bigger than this. Can you see that okay?
Yeah, I mean, we see the big square in the middle.
iPad Pro is kind of minimized.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It should be a bigger window than that, and I can't make it any bigger than it is. Can you see that okay, though? Is that all right? Can everybody see it? Because I can't see you. I can't see.
Yeah. Yep.
Wait, you know what? I'll put the chat up over here. How about if I do this? No, not that one. Hang on. I am not prepared. This is embarrassing. Hang on. let's do this, and I'll put that over here. That way I can see everybody still. Okay. Good. Can we still see it?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Good.
All right. Let me do, let's do Dino's little question there real quick. First off. So, stick figure, right? So, well, that's not the right sketch pad. Let's go back up here. Let's see.
That would have been a fancy stick figure.
Yeah. There we go. Okay. So, you know, we've got a, there's your head, there's your body, a couple legs, a couple arms. Yay. It's a person. It's a stick figure. But we don't stand like that. Try to stand like that right now. Right? It's not easy to stand like that. Right? So we got to give our stick figure some life. So one way to do that is put your head here, right? And then just draw one line all the way down. So that's the center line. It's the center of gravity, right? And then we just put a little foot there. And then take the second leg and do that. And then take the elbow like that, and then do another like that. Now you've given your stick figure a little bit of life because you've added some joints. Does that make sense? So, and then we can give it even more by doing, just think about the way we stand. Sometimes when we're leaning forward, we can go like that. But now the center line, if we do the center of gravity, we've got to put this leg out here to support us this way. See what I mean? And then we can just kind of go like that, and then maybe something like that. So the idea is think about the way we stand, and then you can stand anyway. You can lean. So let's do a leaning one. Just think about where the center of gravity is. So if I'm right here and I'm leaning on, let's say I'm leaning on a cabinet, let's say the cabinet's right here, then my arm would kind of go like that, my elbow, right? And my hand would be like this. So what's the center of gravity is straight down, but we don't stand like that. We kind of stand like this, right? And then this leg supports us.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Yep. The second and third ones that you drew, as simple as they are, they're already expressing like a level of emotion too, because you can interpret that the first one where you added the elbows as, that feels like a kind of or suggests a kind of confident walk or et cetera, whereas the other one,
sure,
there's a bit of a lean, maybe there's a wind or you know, it seems,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Walking
and it's all about it's all about that center line. It's all about the center of gravity.
Is anybody else really impressed at the perfection of his circles? I don't think I could consistently
app, because watch this. You want to see a perfect circle? Watch this.
Oh, I know. It automatically perfects them, but you don't even need
that. Look at that.
I know, ooh, but that's cheating.
I know it's cheating. Well, you know, Brent, I've been drawing circles for how many years? It's practice, right?
What were we can talking you, about practice let me ask earlier?
You, no, let me ask you, can you play a G chord on any instrument right now?
Oh, well, not any instrument, but I
can. Okay,
get
can
pretty,
you play
pretty
can
close.
You pick up a guitar and play a G chord?
Yes.
Without thinking about it.
In about four or five different ways, yes.
See? How many times have you practiced playing a G chord on a guitar as opposed to me?
Probably right? Too many.
I want to make sure everybody understands that this kind of visual thinking, don't be intimidated by it, because you already know how to do it. You do it in your head. And it's just the difference of processing that idea from your head through into this. And this is just the skill part. Just like any skill, it's just a learned practice. So know that you already have the way to do it. It's just practice. It's just techniques. You learn a technique, you practice a technique.
Who else? Then, who in the chat right now? We didn't market this as a hands-on practice, idiotic. But how many of you have whipped out a pad of paper and a pen and are working along at home right now? and if you haven't, I'm going to tell you right now that you should have.
Yeah, why not?
Right. Give us some good resources for storyboarding in a math subject or any subjects. All right, that's a good one.
Do what? What was it?
We got a question
resources
in the chat.
Resources for storyboard
I like
this. In math subject.
Give us some good resources for storyboarding in math subjects or any subjects. But I like math. How would you storyboard a math topic?
Well, let's be a little bit more definitive. What does that
mean?
Yeah,
I was just going to say that's still pretty broad. Even
pretty
though
vague.
We have what's the information that we're trying to present, so on and so forth. I mean, there are lots of challenges in different from different angles of you know of storyboarding. Like we were talking a little bit coming in today. We can just we can think of storyboards as put picture here and words here, etc. But when you start thinking about like interactions, how do you start storyboarding so that people can understand something to build it later?
I was perhaps just give a fraction of advice.
Took a minute for me to catch up to you, but that's a good one. That's a good one.
So when I was teaching a storyboarding workshop last week at DevLearn, and then also did a couple sessions on storyboarding instructional comics and visual thinking and visual narratives. So last week was all about the visual. And one of the things we were talking about this morning, I thought it would be kind of we got about 20 minutes or so?
Yeah, sure.
Just kind of think through some of the things of when you're thinking about an idea. Let's just use, not whether you had ever used this in an actual application or not, but you know the typical game that we've always played where you have two cards matching, right? You flip two cards over. If they match, you get to keep those two cards. Mm-hmm. If they don't match, they flip back over. Well, how do you do that interactively? How do you build that from a development standpoint? There's a lot of pre-built widgets out there that already do this. That's fine. There's other authoring platforms that you can build yourself. It's not about whether you would do it or not, but this is a great exercise to rethink from a logic perspective visually. How would I go about developing that? Tic-tac-toe. I mean, just any type of thing like that that's we know so well. We can explain it. We can play it. We can teach somebody else how to play it. But if you were to develop it as a standalone digital version of that, how would you go about that? And that's the techniques of visual thinking. So I thought we can do a real quick exercise on that, if you don't mind, if that's okay.
Let's do it.
That's okay. Let's think about the game board first. So we need a board.
And I think this is good because this will cover everybody's ideas that they're dropping into the chat. And thank you, everybody, by the way, for dropping in all those fantastic ideas.
I'm looking. Calculate the area of a square. Thanks, Rick. Now my brain is smoked the rest of the day. all right, let's see. We have to consider real estate. So how many do we want here? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll just keep it simple. 5, 7, 8. All right. So we've got 8 cards, if you will, right? We might have some instructions up here at the top. And then if we're going to do it kind of like a game or a point system, we might want to have maybe some scoring, maybe some lights or some kind of icons up here that give you an indication that you've, well, let's see, that's too many. We've only got 4 pairs, mm-hmm. right? So 4 lights. So generally speaking, there's our game board, right? Easy peasy. Now we have to identify each one of these are assets. So what are they? So we have card 1, let's call that A1 matches B1. A2 matches B2. A3 matches B3 and A4 matches B4. The alphanumeric naming convention is your friend. You can do so much with letters and numbers combined together to keep things organized. These up here, we can just call them scores, or we can call them, I don't know. What do you want to call them? Give me a name. Icons. We're going to make them icons 1, 2, and 3. So they're icons, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Right. So there's our assets. Now we got to think about, we got a card. So if we just look at a general card, we've got the back and we have the front. So we have a two-sided card. What does that look like? And what defines back and front? When we look at it, when they're not, is that the back or is that the front? And then we flip it over, is that the back or is that the front? So this is a definition we have to define. So I don't know, the back is what you see. The front is the reveal, right? Did we just lose my screen?
Yeah, no, we just lost your iPad.
Yeah, just the iPad.
Wow, what happened?
But we do still have your screen.
Hang on. Where to go?
And hang for on. People listening to this later in the audio version of Idiotic Podcast, we would encourage you at this point to go to the YouTube and watch the visuals in action.
Come on, there we go.
Yeah, these episodes are the hardest to translate into the audio-only podcast.
Yeah, world. Right. come on, there we go.
Or check out the blog post on the Dominic.
Are we back? Site. There we go. Yeah, it was just a quick disconnect. Sorry about that.
No.
I'm just kind of watching time there. Okay, so let's assume the back is what we see first. So I'm just going to put a little something on here to indicate that I know that that's the back. And then over here, what's the content? I don't know. We'll put some kind of a picture here just to let me know that there's going to be a picture there or some other text content or something. So I have to define that. So I've defined what a back is and I've defined what a front is. So when I use those terms later, A1 front, A1 back, A2, that sort of thing, right? I need to know where my image and my content assets are going to go, because this could be an image. It could be content. When I say content, text, you know, like let's just call it text. So it's either an image or text. I mean, if you really want, you can put a little video there too, for that matter. So image or text. It goes here. So now we have to define what these up here are icons. So if we have an icon, we've got an icon that's, it's off, right? So it's not even... It's kind of grayed out, maybe, that you don't see it. And then we have the icon that turns back on, like this. And then that would be, I don't know, maybe it's color coded. Maybe give it a color or something. So that's icon on, off. So this is the visual thing. You're thinking through the assets, icon off and on. Then you would build the logic to make that work. You'd build the logic to make this work. You'd build the logic on all of this stuff. So if we look through the steps now, I've got all my assets generally laid out how I want. I've got the game board kind of generally what I want. I think I have all the pieces and parts. Now let's think through the logic. So what would be the first thing? Select a card. Card flips to front. See how we define that now? There's where that front word comes in. Card flips to front. 3. What are we going to do? Are we going to be able to give the user the ability to click that same card and flip it over? That's not how the game plays. Once you turn a card over, you can't turn. I don't want that one. I'm going to turn it back over, because that way it would be again be a process of elimination at that point, and that's not how the game's played. So we have to lock it. So lock first selected card. So we're going to lock that one down. 4, select second card. I'm writing really fast. Sorry. We're going to call this first card. Select first card. Card flips to front, lock first selected card, select second card, card flips to front.
Your font selection for this exercise is impeccable.
Yeah, right? card flips to front.
With those 500 lines of practice.
Yeah, then what would you do at that? Then we lock that one. So lock second card. Okay, we lock second card. Now we do the logic part. Is first card match second card? I'm thinking, my brain is moving a lot faster than I'm speaking. Sorry. Let's see. This would say does. You get the idea. Does. Mm-hmm. Does first match second, right? If yes, lock both, show icon, respective icon, you know, if it's A1, if, depending if it's 1, 2, 3, or 4. Mm-hmm. If no, flip cards back to back, back to back, mm-hmm. back, flip cards back over, I guess, and unlock. Mm. Repeat. There it is. Go build it. It's everything you need except the assets. Now, that's the initial one. Now, if we take this and look at it a little bit cleaner, it looks like that.
Haha, you already have gone through this before.
Yes.
So how, so this is awesome, by the way. I like the rough version, us walking through it and us being able to think through how this works, and then to see kind of a finished clean version. The thing that I often forget when I'm thinking about, should I go ahead and do this by hand or should I just go ahead and start building it, is that the value you get from this thinking process that you were talking about before is so incredibly helpful for the development process to go faster, for one, but two, yeah. It helps you communicate to the stakeholders and to the people that are reviewing it or whatever. But that communication is so important, and I think we forget that part of why we do this part of our work.
This is where we want to bring our stakeholders along the ride with us, because how many times do we go develop based on a perception of what our stakeholders want, SMEs, clients, customers, whatever, and then we get to the other end and say, you know, that's not exactly what we had in mind. Wait a minute, we've had some conversation over here while you were developing. Sorry, we forgot to tell you, but we've redesigned what we want to do. So you got to tear it all apart and redo it. Mm-hmm. So by doing this, this first little sketchy exercise really just gets your brain in the mode. And going through that step where you write those out one step at a time, you're taking your design hat off and you're putting your development hat off, even though you're visually thinking. So as you're visually thinking through the steps, the logical steps, you, and I promise you, if you talk it out loud or write it out like this, those little dead end links and endless loop, they start to emerge. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, I have to do this. Oh, wait. Let's not forget that, like locking them down or unlocking them. When do I lock? When do I unlock? When do I flip? When do I not flip? When do I turn the scoring icon on? When do I turn it off? How do I set it up in Risley? What assets do I need to go prepare before I build it? All the images, you know, the sword and so forth. You know, we can go all the way down to this is going to be, let's see. Come on. Maybe this is 100 pixel by 100 pixel card shape, right? So when I go prepare the images or prepare the assets for this, I know I need to stay within that parameter. Yeah. Because, you know, this is 400 pixels. Maybe there's 50 between the two. So that's another 100. So 550. So I know I got to make enough room for 550 pixels right here. Now, I don't know if you want to get into that detail in this kind of drawing, but that just kind of helps you map things out and keep things organized. And then once you go through all that thinking and logic, whether you want to take the extra time to put this together, but now you can share this. This is now a clean, professional, graphic, infographic, whatever you want to call it. I can send this now or have a conversation with a subject matter expert. I say, here's the logic. Here's what we're thinking about. Here's how the thing is going to go. And here's what we want to do. So what... the other side of this is you can put, I just saw a text from my wife. I don't know if you see it. She said scoop alert. I don't know what the heck that means.
Ice cream time.
I don't know what the scoop alert. I don't know. But let me ask. So like when we're in our storyboarding, you know, the Word document linear, write all of the instructions in a storyboard on how to, because a storyboard's our map, right? A storyboard is our map or our blueprint on how to go develop. Write every detail of this instruction on how to do that in that document. it would be so foggy and so noisy, you wouldn't be able to understand it.
Yeah.
And your subject matter expert can just, they'll glaze over and say, oh yeah, that looks fine. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. This really, really helps us out, you know, going through that.
The question I think that we're all kind of thinking about in the chat here is, you know, how do you move from the simplicity of so many of us use Word documents as a storyboarding tool because our SMEs are comfortable in it, you know, and we can track changes and those kinds of things. But that's definitely a focus on like informational content, even if you throw a few, you know, pictures in. But moving from that to something that gives them a stronger visual sense, you could embed at least some of these kinds of things into a Word doc. The obverse, as I was thinking about that question, is that, you know, for the teams that I've seen that, you know, storyboard in PowerPoint and then provide you with something, I'm always worried about the SME's sort of emotional commitment to what they've put visually into the story, into the PowerPoint then. You know, well, no, I wanted this more to the left, or even just getting stuck in the mode of massaging the PowerPoint till it looks, you know, perfect. And you think about time lost and from that perspective too.
Well, you know, we can do another talk on science and all the things that I just talked about is proven to work. And I'm looking at Paul's comment that people want shortcuts. Yes, they do. They want that, you know, that's the speed of business. The demand is always there. It's like, we got to get this done. But how many of you do that? Jump right to production. It's like, okay, we got an idea. Let's go to production. You get to production and then you get into that review cycle and testing. And next thing you know, you're behind schedule, you're over deadline, you're making big changes. It's like, well, wait a minute, I just spent half a day building this and now you're tearing it apart. So I promise you, if you stop, we still have 100% of time. We got the scale, 100% of time. We don't have 110% of time. We have 100% of time. And what happens is that I find in my experience and the people I teach and is they'll take 20% of that time to design. And then they'll spend this bottle of Tylenol headache period of time for the next 80%, and then they're overtime, and now they got to go back for addendums for money, for time, and things like that to extend, or a no cost extension where you're going to continue doing the work but you're not getting paid because we were supposed to have this done because the grant has expired. Why put yourself through that stress? I promise you, if you take more than half of the time dedicated to a project on the front end, I'll guarantee development goes like, because you don't have to think about design anymore. Everybody's on board. We've walked through that process, that design process early on. Everybody knows there's expectations are managed. You hit development, now it's just making sure everything works properly. And, you know, using the analogy in kind of in summary, how long does it take an architect to draw up a set of blueprints for a custom house?
Yeah.
And then how long does it take to build that house? I mean, that's exactly the same sort of parallel. It'll take 6-8 months, almost a year, to draw up a really good professional set of blueprints for a custom design. It takes 3-4 months to build the house.
Yeah, once you get it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's critical that metaphor. I often use it too. The blueprints for the building, and then the construction team comes in and makes. But it's really critical to make sure that people understand that the cost of moving that wall after construction has been, you know, that comes, that's not our fault. That's not our, you know.
It's kind of the same parallel. The landscaping doesn't go in when the concrete truck's pouring the driveway, right? So there's, you're not there yet. So break down your process, and that's where the visual thinking comes in. When do I need to do this? When do I need to do that? I know I need to do that, but compartmentalize your brain. I don't need to put the landscaping in yet because I'm not there yet. And that's kind of like, let's go pick out the cabinet hardware for the kitchen cabinets. So wait a minute, don't you think we ought to buy a piece of land first? I mean,
no. <it's> kind of you should talk to my wife.
Yeah, right, Paul. Let's build a square house, and it totally needs to be round. That's a great house. But
I'm gonna roll us back up through the chat and make sure we respond to Naya. I hope I'm saying your name right. Her question: she says, "I use MS Word simply because clients' edits are captured via track. However, I recently got feedback that Word format is hard for them to visualize. I create a small prototype just to show how each Word doc page translates into an actual course screen. Any suggestions what else I can do to help them visualize better?"
use PowerPoint and think of storyboarding as a process, not a single document. Storyboarding, think of, again, we go back to the analogy of blueprints. A set of blueprints has every detail for a contractor, e-learning developer, to go build that house, build that course. So there's not one set, there's not one piece of paper that the contractor uses to build the house. There's a set of blueprints. So in my process, I have a set of storyboard documents. I have the main Word document storyboard with all the content, the script, you know, the identifiers, the page numbers, screen numbers, all of those sorts of things. But if I get to, say, you know, page 7 or screen 7, and here is an activity or some kind of a knowledge check that involves a little bit more complex design, in that main Word document, I'll say, this is the interaction, see this document, and then it might be this sketch. Or it might be a PowerPoint where I'm able to use shapes and I can map it out a little bit and I can prototype. So I would encourage you to use PowerPoint to just mock up some really fundamental basic prototypes and then link those back and forth. And then it's just carrying that SME along with you in the conversation. Have those weekly meetings saying, okay, here's where we are. Here's what I've mocked up. Here's the approach that I'm going based on a perception of your request. Let's get some feedback. And they say, oh, yeah, I like that. How's that going to come together? And if they're still not clear, you might actually have to go develop a prototype so they can behave, so you can see all the user behaviors and the experience behind it. If you're doing a linear course, which they're fine in a lot of cases, you don't need, I mean, a Word document's fine because it's linear. You know, it doesn't, there's not a whole lot of complex navigation. But a Word document is portrait, e-learning is landscape. So it's clear if there's a subject matter expert that's not familiar with the kind of work we do, they're not going to see it. And that's where the visual thinking comes in. We need to get them to see what we're going to develop before we develop it.
Yeah. We had some, we've had some projects where, you know, the client team is working from a set of, basically here's a, you know, a dozen templated pages and this is what we've got. And therefore the Word doc is actually more of a table, which, you know, lays out what, you know, what slots into which part of the, you know, the template. And then you can at least include, you know, an example of the template, you know, from that perspective too. But that's always, almost always going to be, you know, a more linear, straightforward course when you start veering off into having to make something that, you know, more customized, et cetera, then the communication process becomes more complicated.
Yeah. Well, that's what we did. I'm sorry, Brent, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, when you, in your workshop, how did that end up going? How did, were there any aha moments for in watching these folks go through that kind of, go through this process?
You know, that's funny you say that. My aha moment is I know that they're all going to have their own aha moments and I'm just waiting. Right. So, and then every time we, you know, we take a break or we go to lunch, come back, you know, the first thing we do is, all right, what was your aha moment that last segment? And invariably, every time somebody says, I had no idea going through this process would help me figure out how the things that I don't know that I don't know. And I always discover these things later in the development. Mm-hmm. And that's always where, you know, we run into, you know, we run into deadlines and, or I'm working late or I'm working weekends to try to catch up or I'm, you know, scrambling to meet the demand. But this process just, you're, in other words, put the technology away, put the noise away, get a piece of paper and a pencil, if you, unless a digital app like that, and then go out somewhere away from your computer, away from your desk, and just sketch your ideas. It could be a notebook, could be a piece of paper, could be anything. And I promise you, if you do that exercise and you separate yourself from the digital noise and the distractions, there, you'll get in, you'll get into that flow, the theory of flow. Your brain will get into this focus zone and you'll be amazed at what emerges from that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I saw another thing. The app is Procreate, Christine, on the iPad Pro.
And then you were using Reflector to share it, right?
Reflector to share.
Yeah. Reflector is an app on the iPad, but it talks to your computer basically and lets you share the iPad.
Well, it's screen mirroring. It's just Bluetooth screen mirroring. The Reflector is a Mac. I don't know if you can do it on Windows, but you pull Reflector up on the Mac and then you do screen mirroring on your app, on your tablet. And then it gives you a little code and then it connects and talks to the two. Like,
you can use it on iPhones too. I've done a few, you know, demos showing how something looks on an iPhone. Yep. That place where we start thinking about responsive design, where storyboarding becomes even more complex when people start trying to understand how it's going to look on multiple, you know, sizes and screens. And
I saw a really cool there. I saw a really cool device at Demo Fest, not Demo Fest, at the Expo last week, called eGlass. And I'm so thinking about buying this thing. Let me just see it. It's a glass with a camera.
Oh yeah.
And then you kind of stand over here, right? And you're presenting, but you're drawing on the glass, and then it reflects on the screen in front of you, like on a monitor.
Yeah. So it's like it's like behind you, kind of.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of guys.
You're like drawing in front of you, like right here, and it's coming up. Yeah. I so want this thing.
A long time ago, we had a system on a whiteboard that had like a bar down the one side, and you put the whiteboard markers into these housing units so that it knew sort of spatially what you were doing. And you could have several colors, and you could draw on the whiteboard, and then you would have to go and you'd push the save button that would save a JPEG basically what you'd drawn on the whiteboard with these, you know, very large sort of shells around the markers so that it knew, you know, X and Y coordinates based on
that. Where is that at?
That was we had that actually in our offices for some of these kinds of ideas of trying to do storyboarding. I forget the brand, but it had a bracket that you attached to the side of the whiteboard so that it could, I think it was, you know, radio waves saying, "Oh, I'm here. But it basically waves. But because you had several four different boxes, red, white, you know, or red, black, green, blue, you know, it would also capture the colors of the marker that you would where you had drawn. Suction cups, I recall.
Okay. Onto the I'm geeking out with that.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah. Yeah. Those were sort of the original.
I'll ask a couple of the people with better memory.
I've got a client. One of my clients is University of Utah in Salt Lake City, and we go out there a couple of times. And in the room where we were doing all the brainstorming and storyboarding, you know, we were doing this exercise, kind of getting things off the kickoff meeting kind of thing. And we had to move rooms for some reason. I can't remember. We had to go to a smaller room because I don't know, something to do with air conditioning or whatever, heater. Yeah, air conditioning in Salt Lake City. Yeah. So anyway, they had this smart board I have never seen before. It was the size of the wall, and it had a projector on the ceiling that kind of went down to the wall. But you were just drawing on the wall, and it was capturing it digitally at the same time. And you could just tap the wall. There's like, it would reflect and just tap on the wall. It would snap a picture, and you could crop and move things. And I'm like, it's kind of like, you know, Minority Report kind of stuff. Right. And I was like, I didn't want to leave. Can I stay? can I just stay here tonight?
Universities get all the good.
I know they get all the tools. Right.
Yeah. Paul in the chat has pointed out that you can just go to a whiteboard and then take a picture after
yeah, exactly.
You don't have to have all of the bells and whistles, but no. It does make things a little funner sometimes. Yeah.
Hey, you know, I mean, honestly, when I get the iPad out, I'm really, and I'm just doing quick thinking, but I mean, right here, right now, right. I've got three sketchbooks, three notebooks. So each one is different, right? Like my Stranger Things, this one is my dissertation notes taking book for my school. This is I want to really draw some really cool things. So I put those ideas there. And this is one for my daily notes and daily thoughts. So, paper and pencil, that's where, I mean, we started drawing on cave walls. Re-engineer the way we think. Just go back to that drawing language. That's where the written language came from. We're writing and using Word to write instructions. Re-engineer the way we write and re-engineer the way we think, and go back 10,000 years. Use icons, use metaphors, use analogies. You don't use stick figures. You're just visually thinking through that flow and through that instruction and all the logic. I promise you it'll work.
Yep, it's part of the journey.
It is part of the journey.
You gotta look at my new shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the new shirt. Hey, Kevin, thank you so much, man. This has been an awesome idiotic, as always.
Let's do more storyboarding. I like this stuff.
Yeah.
Or what are we gonna do next time? Are you taking it?
We'll do it again. We'll come back. We'll do more storyboarding for sure. Absolutely. Let me,
hi, Cassie.
One step ahead of me, Chris. Thank you, sir.
No worries, gang. Don't forget to join us in the LinkedIn group there. I just threw the link in. We post some stuff there, follow up to the sessions, and you can also check out the blog pages on domino.com to see the recordings and other stuff. So, Kevin, always so much fun to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week. Same idiotic time, same idiotic channel. Hit us up anytime you guys have any questions, or if you have any suggestions of what you'd like to hear us talk about, let us know. We're always happy to be here. Let's drink some coffee and dance on out of here.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.